Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, she's got a lot of things on her mind to talk about. Headphones ready to hear what it's all about. Sound out now when it's all
we'll
about.
We'll have no fun, 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 cause your Crimmins podcast comes out today.
We'll have no fun, 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 cause your Crimmins podcast comes out today.
No fun, the Jen Kirkman podcast. Episode 376, coming to you on the last Wednesday of February. That is when this releases. Of course, you could be listening to it any old time, unless it's the future after the world has ended. But maybe you figured out a way to listen to it after that. Maybe the world has ended and you're left with just, I don't know, some kind of tinfoil and an antenna and you are picking up podcasts. There's some kind of Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Stitcher tower up there on Mars. That's where they keep them, by the way. I don't know if you guys know that. And you're getting reception and you hear this podcast and you're like, wow, that was 3 days before the world ended. She had no idea. Anyway, I am Jen Kirkman. I am a comedian. This is my podcast. It is called No Fun, the Jen Kirkman Podcast. I have been doing a podcast for, it's going to be 8 years this April. I started it in 2013. It used to be called I Seem Fun. And if you would like to go back and listen to every single episode, all 374, you can go to jenkirkman.com and click podcast. And on that page, you can click for the archives, which I believe are on SoundCloud. But it's easier to just access it through that link. And you can go back in time, just keep refreshing and scrolling and take you all the way back. Anyway, but if you just want to stay in the now, here we are in episode 376. I am Jen Kirkman. I'm a comedian. I have two comedy specials currently on Netflix. I'm Gonna Die Alone and I Feel Fine from 2014 and Just Keep Living from 2017. This is not a comedy special. Oh, it may be funny, but if it is, that's purely up to you or coincidence. I'm not doing hard punchlines here or trying to deliver jokes as though I'm on tour. This is a conversation. I'm sure you've listened to podcasts before. They differ than all other mediums. This is where I can show another side of myself to be my real self. And you can enjoy being part of my weekly monologue. It's like a friend having a conversation with you where you say nothing. It's not scripted. It's not joke per minute. Although, again, it can be funny, but it's sometimes serious. But it's always honest and real. I have two books you could also buy if you want to read words that were, you know, edited and gone over and selected. If you want something more careful than a podcast, then of course you can get my books, and I highly recommend that you do. I can barely take care of myself about not wanting kids, and I know what I'm doing, and other lies I tell myself. That book is about turning 40, being divorced, dating, traveling, just being a general fuck up. Those books are both great gifts for the woman or man in your life who is sort of like, feels like an outcast. And they are available as a Kindle or an ebook or whatever you do. That's the cheapest way to get it. I do encourage you to buy them brand new. When you buy them used, they don't go towards my book sales, which makes it hard for me to get a third book deal if not enough people bought the first and second books. So there you go. This week on the podcast, that is part of the Misfit Toys Comedy Collective. It's a fine group of other podcasters, including Never Not Funny, Doug Loves Movies, Mike Schmidt, the 40-year-old boy, and the Todd Glass Show. You can hit the link in the show notes to check out the other podcasts, and let's hear from one of them right now.
Hi, everybody. This is Todd Glass. What could I say that would make you want to give the Todd Glass Show a listen? Well, I guess you could poke around on YouTube, and if some of the stuff over there makes you laugh or my Netflix special act happy, then maybe you'll give it a listen. The only other thing I could do is make it short because it's interrupting a podcast you already love. Okay, I'm done. Thank you. Goodbye.
So what am I going to be talking about this week? I'm going to be talking about a man was killed by shrapnel from an exploding cannon used not at a gender reveal. That's normally where this shit happens. At a baby shower. I know someone has died, but I will be making fun of that. I'm going to be talking about how amazing Valentine's Day was in a pandemic. I'm going to be talking about how we are now revisiting how we treated young women after the Britney Spears documentary came out and the clip of Lindsay Lohan on Letterman have been going around. And I have a controversial hot take on that Lohan Letterman clip that isn't the same as everyone else, and you might not like it. I'm going to talk about what's going on in Texas, which is highly sad, and how I am judging all of the comedians that moved there and have millions of dollars and don't seem to be helping, and how I'm getting shit for even suggesting such a thing on the internet by their male incel fans. I'm going to talk about just, I don't know, a couple things on social media annoyed me this week. I just want to reiterate a few things about, I don't like when people think they know me just because they follow my Instagram. Do you know what I mean? And then I just wrote, I'm in a mood. Now I'm not really sure what I'm going to say about that. Maybe I'll be in a better mood once I start recording. I think I'm in a mood because I'm in a pandemic. And I want the fucking vaccine, and I'm in California, and we're not getting it anytime soon, and I have a pre-existing condition, and I'm still not anywhere close to the groups that are going to be able to get it soon. And there might be an article I might read about something, but I'm not sure if I'll get there, so I'm not even going to mention it. And then, of course, we have listener emails from you lovely people that write into the show, so where do I begin? Let's talk about Valentine's Day. Now, I'm not trying to be this person. Oh, trust me, I'm not. But there you, before the pandemic, my biggest hell on social media was Valentine's Day. Because people would think they would know me and they would console me for being single, even at times when I wasn't, but it wasn't exactly a situation that I was making public. And they would say, why are you single? I would date you. I hope you're having a great Valentine's Day. And I'd be like, bitch, even if you did date me, I don't celebrate Valentine's Day. I'm not trying to be cool. I just think it's stupid. Now, I live in a major city. So everyone is out on Valentine's Day. Do you know the worst day in Los Angeles for traffic is Valentine's Day? It is completely kook-a-dook. That is if it is on a Monday through Friday. Everyone leaves work at like 4:30. Between 4:30 and 6, it is gridlock. You might as well just be in a parking lot because it's no different than being on the 101, the 405, Wilshire Boulevard, Olympic, Pico, whatever. You're not getting anywhere. Everyone's rushing home to go on their dates, to be with their family, whatever they're doing. That does not interest me. the times I have celebrated Valentine's Day, it has been alone in the home with the person that I am sharing the love with. And it's really just, let's put out some cheese and wine. And really, you can do that any day, can't you? I've never made it a thing. I think it's cheesy. Now, again, there was something different about it this year in a pandemic. Nobody was thinking about other people. Nobody was feeling bad for people who are single. It wasn't even brought up once. It was a whole new attitude on social media. I don't know if you noticed that, but I loved it. And there weren't as many couples with their photos. Oh my God, I love you. It's been amazing. There's a few, but you also know you two have been stuck in the house together for 11 months. And I'm sure it hasn't been rosy the whole time. So God bless you for making it through. You know, there was this sort of like, I'm rooting for the couples. I'm never angry at the couples. I'm just usually annoyed at social media couple posting, even though I have done it myself. I've been annoyed at myself when I do it, but you know, so what I enjoyed about this Valentine's Day was there was lots of self-deprecating jokes that people were making about living alone, being alone. I call it uncoupled. I really do. This isn't a joke. Because not that there's anything wrong with the word alone, but I am not alone. I have more friends than I can handle. I can't add any more friends into my life. I barely have time to keep up in a meaningful way with all the ones I have. I have a family. I have coworkers. I have acquaintances. I couldn't be less alone. Am I in a romantic relationship? Not currently. So I'm uncoupled. Not alone. See? And I think when you use alone, you invite comments, suggestions, help. Because it sounds like a thing you're trying to not be. I'm alone. Oh, well, have you tried? It's like online dating, but you go outside and you just shout your name into the wind. And then you stand there and sometimes like, the wind really swirls up big and then a wizard appears and then he brings you a date. Have you tried that? I know a lot of people who've tried that. No, I haven't tried that. But I actually was just telling you my status so that I could finish this story. I wasn't saying alone in a bad way. But if you say I'm uncoupled, it almost sounds like something you can respect and that you don't need to butt your face into. So anyway, as an uncoupled person this Valentine's Day, I actually was enjoying Valentine's Day because I have been sitting in my home for a year. You know, here and there I went to a few backyard hangouts this year, some hikes and walks with friends, Zoom hangs, you know, I've gone somewhere every day, whether it's to run an errand or hike by myself or something. I've gone places, taken a drive, whatever. But basically my environment hasn't changed all that much. And so I've been enjoying decorating for all holidays. I don't currently have any Valentine's Day decorations or anything like that, but each holiday has marked time for me. And, you know, I bought a bag of candy hearts at CVS when I happened to be there picking up a prescription. And I was like, I will now have the ritual of candy hearts because it's Valentine's Day and I'm in a pandemic. You know, there was this taking part in whatever way of whatever ritual was happening. And everyone was kind of in the same place. And, you know, social media is kind of where I hang out with acquaintances and random people in my industry. And there was no one consoling the uncoupled people who live alone. Because y'all know you're jealous of us. Because we can eventually meet people, bring more people into our home. But you all can't suddenly live alone. You got your screaming kids and your husband or wife. Our lives have a little more flexibility. Now, I'm just being silly, but I posted something, but then at the end of the day, all joking ceased and nobody got the joke anymore. I decided at the last minute, I'm going to order some food from Postmates from a restaurant. What did I order? Oh, I ordered a salmon salad. I was in the mood for some fish. I got a grilled salmon salad. I forget what else I got. There was something else with it. And if you do the food delivery thing, you know they have contactless delivery. So the food delivery person just leaves it outside your door, rings the bell, and goes. There's no meeting them at the door. It is not COVID safe for anybody. And the Postmate sends you a text after they leave it. Now, a friend of mine on Valentine's Day, he had plans with his boyfriend. And, you know, he lives with his boyfriend. They see each other every day. It's like any other day for him. He didn't really care. But because it was supposed to be a nice day outside and they both had the whole day free because it was a Sunday, nobody had to work, they thought, well, maybe we'll go far away on a nice hike. But then my friend's boyfriend found out that he had to go do something. And he was like, I'm so sorry. I have to go do this thing. Are you mad? And my friend was like, no, I kind of wanted to be alone today. And so he was like, I'm having the best Valentine's Day. I think it's the longest my boyfriend and I have been apart since a year ago. And I'm just sitting around doing what I want to do today. And I heard that from a couple of people randomly on Valentine's Day that were in marriages, that they just randomly had some time alone and they were so happy. So I kind of thought we were all on the same page in that sense, that oddly this year, after spending so much time with each other, that if you had any time alone on Valentine's Day, you might welcome it. So the text from my Postmate was, you are now communicating with your Postmate. Your personal phone number is kept anonymous for your privacy. Reminder that Postmates will never ask you for your login information. And then he just wrote, hi, I leaved it. Enjoy. Bye. I was so happy. And it wasn't the incorrect English. I don't care about that. But there's just something the opposite of what Valentine's Day is supposed to be. You get a message that you're communicating with someone who doesn't actually have your number. You are remaining anonymous and they will never contact you again. And all they've contacted you to tell you is, I left the food at your door so you can eat it alone. I'm gone. Bye. It's like, oh my God, that's the most amazing thing anyone has ever done for me on this day when I don't feel like dealing with humans because I've been cranky for a year in this pandemic. And I thought that was funny, where I wrote, all of you who have been stuck in the house with the same person for 11 months, you know that I'm the one having the best Valentine's Day of all. And I posted that text and people were like, aw, cheer up. And I was like, I'm dead serious, you fucking humorless twits. Why am I on social media? Why do I do? I'm a paid professional writer. I'm a paid professional comedian. I'm giving away things for free so dumb fucks cannot understand it. How is that? Please explain to me how that's enjoyable for me. It's exposure. So is standing outside with your nuts in the wind. Not all exposure is good exposure. Some exposure stings. I don't want to be exposed to fucking idiots. She's ripping paper again. Oh, God. But it seemed like it was finally okay to talk about living alone or being on your own without people jumping in to console. And overall it was. And that's why that day was fun, because it felt inclusive. It felt like this silly holiday where we were all kind of just talking about love in general. It didn't seem like reserved for couples. And I really liked that. I even enjoyed, maybe it was because of the decorations that First Lady Jill Biden put on the White House lawn. I thought it was cute. I was like, what's next? An inflatable Santa on the roof? Like, she is down homing this. She put out those hearts that were like loyalty, trust, or whatever it said, like kindness. You know, they were just sort of like, they weren't just statements about romantic love. They were about being nice to others and love in general, right? Just how like Thanksgiving became less about celebrating America and more about, let's just take this day to be grateful. So I like that Valentine's Day kind of became a day about love, you know, all kinds of love. It had that feeling to it. Until I posted that thing and ruined it. Now, I don't know why this bothered me. This is so stupid, but I'm going to keep thinking about it till I say it. I posted this photo of myself on Instagram the other night of me wearing these, they're called arm socks or arm warmers. They've been around forever. I've been wearing them since the late 90s. They were a great thing that I used to wear in New York City because they looked cool on stage. I'd wear them with a t-shirt, but then you put your winter coat over them and you're warm outside in the freezing, but then you get on the subway where it's overly hot. And you're not burning up because it's not like you have 50 layers on like a sweatshirt and a sweater. It's perfect. And it's just a cool kind of look. Anyway, I had them on the other night because it's been very chilly here at night. And I like to keep my sliding doors open and just feel that cool breeze. But it gets a little too cold, but I don't want to put a sweater on. So I put the arm socks on and I took a picture of myself. Now, it was hard to take the selfie because I needed both my hands to be seen. So I propped up my phone and hit video. I took a video of myself so I didn't have to be holding the phone. Then I go to the video and I hit pause on an image I like and I take a screenshot and there you go. Hope I've just taught someone something. And I was kind of making a like, ooh, I suppose it could have looked like I was making a coy face at the camera. I wasn't trying to. I was probably just trying to fit my head into the frame. And somebody wrote, at first, I thought that some mystery man had taken this photo of you and that you were looking at him lovingly. And I thought, who is this person? That's not Jen. And it made me so sad because I was like, why isn't that me? I've totally done that. 100%. Like, what is this hardened exterior that I in no way, I mean, I did this Netflix special about being single. I filmed it 8 years ago and wrote it 3 years before that. It is 11 years old. And it's a joke. I was in a relationship when I filmed it. It was a joke. It was jokes about how being married doesn't save you from your spouse dying. And no one got the joke. And I'm Gonna Die Alone was about, that's what people would say to me when I told them I didn't want kids. It wasn't about being single. It was about if you're single, accept that about yourself and don't apologize to anyone and don't let anyone make you feel like you're not complete or that you can't possibly be happy. Gotta be okay with yourself no matter what. Some people take long periods of time to be single. I'm in one now. It's not necessarily by choice, just sort of what happened. Then the pandemic happened. I was dating someone a little bit here and there before the pandemic and then just sort of died out. And then there was the pandemic. Haven't loved someone since my ex 4 years ago, who is now married to someone else. You know? Just shit happens sometimes. But to take a defensive posture, I don't love, I don't do, that's not me. And I'd be embarrassed to be thought of that way because that's not really evolved. You know, that's not what vibe I want to give up at age 46. My whole thing is I happen to be single. Some of it's by choice. Some of it isn't. I don't really see where a man fits into my life right now. But I'm open it's not a closed off thing for the rest of my life. Just right now, I don't see how it fits in. Doesn't interest me. A lot of it is some of the damage from having to deal with men on the internet all the time and how men treat women in society. And you can say, well, Jen, it's important for you to learn that not all men do that. And I would say it's important for you as men to change your culture. Stop putting everything on me. I have to go find the good ones. I have to then accept this. I have to. What are you guys doing? Now, of course, I know that every woman makes an exception for all the men that she has to have in her life. Relatives, friends, brothers, cousins, coworkers. I mean, we're not walling ourselves off on an island. We haven't figured out how yet, but once we do. No, I'm kidding. But I'm just saying, like, I have no opinion about it. It just doesn't, there's no room right now in my life for that. But the notion that if there were, that I wouldn't go googly-eyed at someone and have them take my picture and I wouldn't post it, you gotta be out of your fucking mind. Love's great, especially that stupid part where you're just so stupid and you just think, not this time, not, I'll never be annoyed with this person. I'm so happy and everyone is happy for me and I'm gonna post it. Yeah, it's annoying to see people like that. And then when you're in it, you're like, this isn't annoying. It's fucking great. We lose our mind sometimes. It's wonderful. And when I'm there again, I'll absolutely do a picture like that. And I hate to be thought of as someone that wouldn't, because it's so rigid. And I've worked way too hard on myself to be someone who has that as their thing. My thing is that whatever your thing is, it's okay as long as you're okay with it and you don't owe anyone an explanation. But just make sure that the thing you are has really been thoroughly examined and that you are not in some defensive posture. And even if you decide I'd like to be alone, I don't want relationships, I am forever a bachelor, forever a spinster, fucking fantastic. But I bet people who do that, who truly feel that way, they're throwing off joy wherever they go. They're just doing their thing, you know? Amy Sedaris is one of those people to me. I read an article where she's decided she doesn't want relationships anymore, but look at her throwing her joy everywhere. Her life isn't about not having a relationship. Her life is full. And then you go, wait, is she in a relationship? And then you happen to Google it. And then you read how she doesn't want to be in one. You're like, interesting. Like, you find that out, but it's not their identity. So we just have to be careful with that. And I always think it's like a younger person's game to be making every single decision they make their identity. And then you got to double down on it. And that's who I am. And that's how I always am. And I just, I don't know. I probably overreacted in my heart when I read that, but I just turned off all the comments. I was like, oh, that bummed me out.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Hey, so everybody, I know I say this every episode, and you know, I only say it because people half listen or they need to hear something a certain amount of times. But truly and truly, I am not touring in 2021. A lot of people who listen to the podcast have been emailing me, can't wait till you come back to this city. Without making a big announcement about it, like, I think I've stopped doing stand-up. Like, I don't miss it. And it's been over a year and I was getting sick of it the year before. I was starting to burn out. Like, I'm changing and adjusting. And this podcast is what I love doing. And I'm going to be starting the anxiety podcast soon. And I'm writing on a show. And I'm just seeing where the road takes me. If I do any live shows, it might be in very targeted cities, probably only three across America, maybe Toronto as well, where the numbers for the podcast are highest, and do live tapings or something. But that wouldn't be till 2022 or three. And who even, you know, I don't even, maybe I would end up touring with the other anxiety podcasters or something. So it's like, you're really not going to see me on tour. It's not a threat. I'm just trying to explain to you that I'm moving into a different thing and I'm trying to change and expand. And I hope you'll all come with me. But this podcast is really important to me. And the way I'm making a living besides this writing job I have is my Patreon. It's not like, oh, whatever. It's like, I really hope everyone that can signs up. Right now, only about 5% of my audience has signed up. So I hope that everyone listening really understands I put a lot into the Patreon. You get a video version every week. That video version has bonus talking at the beginning where I talk right to camera. That's $5 a month right there. You get 4 videos a month of this podcast. Then you get 1 free bonus episode where I talk about something in pop culture. $10 a month, you are getting 3 bonuses a month, 2 20-minute pop culture episodes and 1 one-hour episode. In the past, I've done things like take you on a typical day where I took my camera everywhere with me that day. I did shit around my house. I went to a storage space. It sounds stupid, but it was kind of funny. I've interviewed famous people. I have done special, live chats. I've done all kinds of things. And each level goes up from there. So, you know, the more you pay, the more bonuses you get. But truthfully, even if just like 1,000 of you signed up at $5 a month, that'd be great. I know you're doing the math. $5,000. Well, then I pay fees on the podcast. I pay fees to be on Patreon. I pay people to produce my show. This is my business. So I'm really serious when I'm asking people to please sign up, because it's not just an extra like, oh, for fun. It's how I earn a living. So come with me, come with me. Patreon.com/Jen Kirkman. So we've been reevaluating how we've treated young women in the media, right? Because of the Britney Spears documentary where, her father is her conservator. And I think we all thought, well, she's kind of crazy. Maybe she needed that kind of strict guidance and someone running her money. And honestly, I don't know the details. It seems like she doesn't want to be under the control of her father. And it seems like she's trying to tell everyone help, truly, it's not... That part is not my business or concern, nor do I think I know what's best for her. But the part that was interesting to me was, in the age of TMZ, when she shaved her head and she got the umbrella and started beating the shit out of, was it Kevin Federline's car or her own? No, it was the paparazzi's car. I mean, honest to God, I don't even think you have to have any specific mental health issues like bipolar or anything in order to be driven so mad by people following you around with cameras at your worst when like you're losing custody of your kids or you're getting a divorce. I mean, to shave your head and grab an umbrella and start going ape on someone's car, I tell you right now, that's all it would take for me is someone following me around the fucking camera like that. But, of course, I worked on a show that was all about being mean to celebrities. I worked on Chelsea Lately, and, I didn't want to have that job. When I applied, I was really broke, and I was $40,000 in debt, and I was, 34 years old, and it was had been over 12 years in this business not making any money. And it was like, when I got the job, everyone there was like, oh, we don't care about celebrity culture. We're not really into making fun of this. It's a job, And so, yeah, I was part of a machine that was hurtful to others. I tried to make sure that when I was on the round table telling jokes that I wasn't totally shitting on people. I tried to find a funny angle that wasn't about, tearing people down. And the way you get through it is, I'm acting like I was a Nazi going, I was just following orders. I mean, it's not that extreme, but you do kind of go, like, I remember I used to write for Fashion Police in one of those magazines, Us Weekly. And I only did it for a little while because, you know, it's like the back of the paper, the back of the magazine. I don't even know if they still have it, but it would be like stars on the red carpet and, like, you know, some crazy outfit or something. And you would write something snarky, like, looks like she, I don't know, whatever, footy pajamas and walk yourself to the mental ward, girl, you know, not that. And I did it before I had paid work because I was like, it's exposure. But as I said before, exposure doesn't mean anything and it can burn your nuts. Wind burn your nuts. So, you know, I stopped doing it because I was like, why am I being mean to people when I actually think these outfits are cool? And, like, who cares? And also, you're not paying me. So you got to pay me if you want me to be mean. I'm not going to do it for free. But I think we all understood at Chelsea Lately that we don't really give a shit. You know, we're comedians. We go home and get made fun of on the internet all fucking night. But I remember I went to Vegas in 2014. My parents were there for Valentine's Day, ironically, as I was just talking about Valentine's Day. And I went to visit them and honed in on their romantic weekend. I was fresh out of a breakup. I was so depressed. I'm like, Mom, Dad, I'm coming to Vegas. And I somehow got tickets to the Britney Spears concert, even though I'm not a fan of her music, really. I'm not a fan of some of the catchier hits. But I went. And, you know, it was kind of depressing. She seemed like she was drugged. And she wasn't really dancing. She was in it. She was very young. It looked like someone who was maybe in their 60s or 70s who had maybe some injuries and couldn't really dance anymore. And she was in her early 30s, you know, or even late 20s. She was not old. She's still not old. And it was kind of a bummer. She was kind of just walking. And, like, a lot of really incredible Cirque du Soleil backup dancers lifting her up, but she really wasn't doing much. And she was lip syncing. And I remember thinking, this sort of reminds me of when any of us are in our bedroom lip syncing and just kind of doing a dance, like just kind of walking and, like, you know. And I think I talked about it. I went on the show and talked about my, you know, the joke was on me. It was like my sad Valentine's Day. I went out with my parents. And I think Britney's my Valentine because we have a lot in common. So it was like revealing what the show was, but I don't think I was too mean about it. Like, she seemed like she was just walking through it, but, like, I would love to get paid to do what she did. And it gives me hope that maybe I'll have a Vegas residency where I'm lip syncing and just kind of not dancing that well. And, you know, if she can do it, I can do it. But it was definitely sad. And I don't remember at the time what her life was, if her dad was her conservator, but this guy, Sam Lutfi, he's a name that you had to be a very specific type of person in 2010 to 2012 to know who this was. And by that, I mean you had to be a troubled celebrity who he was trying to control, or you had to be someone like me who was working on a celebrity-based show where we knew all the main players in the celebrity world. So Sam was hanging around Britney Spears when she was, like, at her most troubled. And he's just this guy that comes in like he's supposed to be some kind of fixer, you know? And suddenly it's like he's her bodyguard, he's her manager, he's her confidant. And it's not anything sexual. It's just like this guy is always around. And I think he's trying to get close to troubled women who may have mental health problems or drug problems. I swear to God, if you have the Patreon version, there's, like, orbs flying around my room right now, and it's freaking me out, my office. Like, I keep looking in the camera and just seeing these weird things fly by. Don't like it. Needs to stop. I had a point. Sam Lutfi. So Sam also took control of Courtney Love. And she, in quotes, would DM me on Twitter all the time and ask me things about Chelsea because they shared an ex-boyfriend in common. And I was like, Courtney, I'm not telling you anything about Chelsea's dating life. So I'm sorry, you know, big fan, love you, if you want to talk about anything else. And it was interesting because every once in a while, she would DM me and then she'd be like, oh, it's me, Sam. I run Courtney's account. She's a big fan. She wants to ask you a question. You know, it was something weird like that, but none of it was true. It was just like he was trolling people that worked on Chelsea. I don't know what he was doing, but he was a real weirdo. And I just felt the one time I met Courtney Love years ago doing this comedy show that was like comedy and music in Hollywood years ago. I've talked about it before. She was there and she looked kind of drugged. Now, obviously, I know that's like not a big leap to make as she is someone that has had a drug problem most of her life, but it wasn't that kind of drugged. Like, I'm partying, I took a drug. It was like, I think someone's drugging her, you know, like, and so then she recently got sober. And if you read her Instagram, she's talking about she got this toxic man out of her life that was drugging her. And they say Sam Lutfi was drugging Britney Spears as well. And he's trying to get those inheritances and trying to get the money. So in one way, I saw it as good when Britney Spears' dad took over her life, because you hope he's not going to steal from her the way that Sam was trying to. But I suppose there's even a third option, which is no man is controlling her life and her finances. I just don't know how, I don't know the state of her mental health. But the one thing I do know is that the entertainment media was super gross to her. The way we treat young women, you know, they showed this clip of her winning Star Search when she was a little girl, I mean, under 10. And Ed McMahon's like, do you have a boyfriend? And she's like, no, boys are gross. And he's like, what about me? And it's like, just stop. Like, you can talk to girls about other things, especially if they just sang like a 60-year-old black soul singer woman. You know what I mean? Like, why don't you talk to her about her talent? Anyway, so, but there is a clip going around of Lindsay Lohan on David Letterman. And he's being like, so do you have a drug problem? How come you're not in rehab? Aren't you going to rehab soon? And she's like, this wasn't in the pre-interview, blah, blah. And everyone's like, he was so mean to her. And I'm like, well, I do have a different perspective on it. Now, we all know Letterman's not the greatest guy in the world, especially if you're his wife. He was having an affair, you know, abusive power at work, having an affair with an intern. Like, we know all that. Had a history of not hiring women, except one or two. We know all that. I do think men of that generation can learn and change. I have seen him be remorseful and contemplative about it. So I'm not sitting around worried too much about David Letterman. But there is a kind of show that he had where he was mean to people. And he was mean to Joaquin Phoenix when Joaquin Phoenix came on and acted like he was on drugs. He was mean to Crispin Glover when Crispin Glover came on and acted like he was on drugs. And he was mean to Paris Hilton when he was just like, what do you even fucking do? And, you know, we have to take now the I think there's a problem here that people are missing. Lindsay Lohan has really shitty parents. And her mom was an enabler who was partying with her. Her dad's no good. She was a child star, and that'll just fuck you up even if you have good parents. So here's this just lost girl. She gets really famous after Mean Girls. She obviously has like drug and alcohol addiction issues, love addiction issues. She's just off the rails in all areas. It's totally tragic. At the same time, if any of you have ever known an addict of any kind, or been one yourself, you know those years when you're being a fucking asshole, or when that person's being a fucking asshole. And although you know they are sick, and that this is not their true nature, and that they need help, at a certain point, it's like, I throw my hands up, you need fucking help, get help or don't, but you're not welcome here anymore. So Lindsay was kind of at that point with the American public. She had just the week before, a couple weeks before, crashed her car She kept signing up to be in movies. People kept taking a chance on her, and then she kept fucking up, right? That's what addicts do. It's tragic. She got in a car accident on the Malibu Highway, the PCH. There was cocaine found in the car. She was driving recklessly. She was on drugs. She was drunk. She could have killed someone, okay? Then she's sentenced to go to rehab. Now, I don't know why she didn't just go right away. There was some kind of waiting period. So if you are crashing cars, getting fired from your movie on coke and drunk, and you're not, but in a month you have to go to rehab, maybe don't go on Letterman in that month. And she had no one around her to tell her that was a bad idea. She was doing that addict thing of, I got this, I'm going to go on Letterman, and just being like, you're going to go on Letterman, the guy who's kind of mean and a comedian and a pop culture show, after you've crashed a car on coke drinking, and you think you're going to call the shots and that you're going to actually get him to agree to not mention the one thing that we're all wondering about, don't go on the show. You are sick. If you can't get into rehab yet, go to a meeting. Something. Someone help this girl. It is not David Letterman's fault. If she's sitting there, that's fucking red meat in the water. He's a shark. That's his fucking job. I know it sucks, but that's how people disassociate in this business. I know it sucks. I'm not saying it's great. Maybe he could have been, you know, there was this one time, I think, when George W. Bush was on and David Letterman was really opposed to the Iraq war. Maybe Donald Rumsfeld. It was Donald Rumsfeld. And Letterman was like, good Christ, these kids are dying in the war. And maybe he could have taken that tactic with Lindsay and been like, who is looking after your career? Like, you just had an accident and you should be in rehab and you're not yet. But did you think this was a good idea? I mean, maybe he could have done that. I'm not saying like he handled it perfectly and, you know, she's wrong, he's right. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying there's more to it than that. And I think people are kind of having amnesia about like where the culture was with her at that point, which is we were there. She was our addict sister. And we're like, enough of you. Would you just fucking go get help? Like, it's just drama, 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 you know? So I think that's just kind of what it was. It was like, I'm not excusing it, but I don't know. I don't know. That's just my hot take on it, okay?
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, everybody. I'm acting like an onslaught of emails are coming in. But I will tell you my hot take on something else. My heart goes out to all of you in Texas, especially the areas most affected. It seems like Austin is. I mean, I'm just hearing the most about Austin. But Houston, Dallas, all my areas that I've performed in, San Antonio. I know there's more areas in Texas. I'm just talking about the places I've performed. It has always been one of my favorite states, period. I mean, I'm a vegetarian who eats some fish, so it's not exactly the food I want. It's not exactly my politics all the time. It's not exactly my culture all the time. It's not exactly my weather that I like all the time. I just think it's such a beautiful, beautiful piece of land. It's such a goddamn gorgeous, beautiful state. I have driven through the entirety of Texas, up and down, side to side, more than any other state in my entire life, from gigs to other things I've done to cross-country trips, at least 5 times. I have been to all of the cities I mentioned at least 8-10 times each. And yeah, I've probably been to Texas over the past 10 years, like 40 times. And it's always been my favorite audiences. And so my heart goes out to you guys. It would, even if you weren't my favorite audiences. What a fucked up, bizarre thing to have this like ice. I was going to say capade. It's not quite that fun. But it really shows us, right, what climate change is. So I've been, again, if people want to go to my Twitter at Jen Kirkman, I do have a thread there that's like all the different ways you can donate. And I'm sure the cold front will be over by the time this episode releases, but there's no shortage of people that will need help. Food, clothing, warm things, you know. So, but I was just curious as to, it was very interesting to me that Dave Chappelle, who had COVID, who released this, you know, comedy, mini comedy special, this nicely filmed thing from Stubbs in Austin a couple weeks ago. He catches COVID and then 2 weeks later on the dot is back performing. I assume he tested negative after having it. I guess he didn't have any symptoms or just mild symptoms. God bless. Good for him. He got fucking lucky. He's a heavy smoker. That's crazy. You know, but it doesn't prove anything. Doesn't prove that COVID isn't real. It just proves he got fucking lucky. We don't know what his long haul symptoms could be. We don't know if he'll reinfect. We know nothing, but we know that the 2 weeks that he tested positive for it, didn't seem like he had symptoms. God bless. Now, Dave Chappelle was one of my heroes way before I had this podcast. And if I'd had it during those years, it's all I would have talked about. One of the reasons he was my heroes was for his movie, Dave Chappelle's Block Party, where he put together this neighborhood concert in Brooklyn, brought all these musicians together, women, men, introduced his audience, which was a lot of white people, to a lot of black music that they wouldn't have known. I knew it. No, not to brag. And he did really cool things, like took a student marching band from Ohio by bus to go to Brooklyn and perform Jesus Walks with Kanye. It's fucking awesome. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's so gorgeous. It's so full of love and life, and it's after he quit the Chappelle Show and after he got back from Africa. And it's just an artist going, this is who I am and I'm not answering to anyone else. And it moved me so much. And I had no modicum of success yet. Nothing. And I just knew this is what I want to be like if I ever have this kind of money or influence or freedom. It's fucking gorgeous. And it just means so much to me. I think Dave Chappelle is a brilliant mind. I don't mind if his comedy doesn't have punchlines anymore. I'm not saying it doesn't, but you know, a lot of people will criticize him and say, oh, he's just preaching. I love that too. I'm a big fan of watching comedians just talk, even if they're not, you know, having a punchline. I think he's a genius. I also think he's really ignorant about what he's ignorant about. I think he's a blowhard. I think he's got a giant ego. I think he might be a little delusional. I think money might have fucked him up. I think middle age might have fucked him up. And I think fame might have fucked him up. And I don't like that he was doing these shows with Joe Rogan in Austin. You've heard me babble about it on and on and on. I know they were physically distanced, testing masks, but he didn't get COVID from doing those shows. He got it from hanging out outside of the shows all the time with a million people without a mask. He was all over Austin maskless. He's got this new friendship with Joe Rogan. I don't quite understand it, except they're both middle-aged, very wealthy, very influential. They're probably two of the only people that understand what the other one's life is like. That happens a lot. Strange bedfellows, right? Because it's like you and me understand what it's like to be you and me, and not many other people do. So, and I'm not even saying Joe Rogan's a bad guy. Like, I'm sure if I had lunch with him, you know, comedians keep odd company. We kind of overlook a lot of things. In general, I don't like what Joe Rogan puts out into the culture. I don't think these guys will ever understand that no matter how nice they may be in real life, they have attracted this toxic male fan base. Not all the men in it are toxic, but there are plenty of toxic men in it. And they don't talk to their fan base. They talk to them. Dave convinced his whole fan base to stop watching Chappelle's Show on Netflix, and they got rid of it and then redid his contract and paid him. You know, he originally signed a contract when he signed away that show, which was like, this is it. You don't get residuals for it. We can sell it many times over and you know, you get nothing. That it may not seem fair to you, but when artists, we sign contracts like that all the time. So he undid something that's pretty unprecedented and got paid again for it, to go on Netflix all this. Right. We got his audience, you know, he influences his audience greatly. I know it because every time he has a special come out where he defends Louis, I get harassed for days. Now, if I found out that anything I was doing was causing people to get harassed, I'd have a talk with everybody. What are you doing? Why are you representing your fanship of me that way? But see, these guys don't think about that stuff. They're never going to. It's never going to get through their heads. But my point is, does these shows after COVID and says all these people were like, see, Dave, you got COVID, haha. And he's like, well, you can all be cowards and stay home, but I'm fine. And I just thought, like, that is such a fucked up message. It's irresponsible. It's fucked up. It's obnoxious. It's not even funny. And it's wrong. And also, like, you know, nobody was glad. I mean, I, for one, wasn't glad he got COVID, but I was thinking, well, maybe this will do something to him where he realizes there are consequences. But no, it didn't. It emboldened him, just like it did Trump. And I just thought, wow, that's so weird. I should never have an example of Trump and Chappelle doing something similar. Never thought I'd see that day. And so here's Austin is just, you know, people are without power. People are dying. People are starving. And Joe Rogan, and I don't know if Chappelle is still there, but he certainly, you know, money transfers across state lines. I'm here to tell all of you. Here they've been getting so much from the people of Austin. I know they see it as they've been giving by performing, but they've been given so much by the people of Austin, paying big ticket prices for their shows, supporting them, welcoming them. Rogan's there. Rogan made $100 million deal on Spotify. Now, I know how deals work. You didn't get all the money in cash on one day, but I'm sure he's got at least $20 million hanging around. So does Chappelle. Are they helping anyone in Austin? I don't know. Maybe they are. But this is the argument I've been having on Twitter all day where it's like, if they are, I know some people do charity on the down low because they're, you know, humble people. But I feel like this is the one time you want to announce, hey, everybody, hey, fans that do my bidding about everything. I just donated $1 million to the blah, blah, blah shelter. If y'all gave $5 each, think about that. You know what? We're not going to do any shows next month. Take the money you would have spent on it and give it to this. You know, something like influence your fans to do good things. And so I've been posting about how to help. And all of their fans have been harassing me going, you're just trying to do this for clout. That's a new expression that the young people say. I don't know what it means. You don't have to explain it to me. I get what it means. It means like you're doing it to get some kind of something. But there's a thing that they think I'm getting that I never get from it. The only thing I get from it is that I'm a fucking grown-ass woman who's always been an activist, who's always been charitable, who's always tried to use my influence to help other people. To go, hey guys, like, if this is what you're all about, this is what I'm all about, let's chip in $5. And like, hey, don't feel bad if you don't have a lot of money. If you think, what's $5 going to do to a homeless shelter? Well, think about it. You have 200 followers on Twitter. If you got all your followers to donate $5, you could raise $1,000, right? It's just sort of about keeping others in mind while we go about our mundane, dumb shit. So I was just sort of, I don't know, I'm not even as bummed at Dave and Joe if they haven't done anything as I am with their fans who just think that's fine. Like, I'm just, I guess I just need to accept that, like, fandom is just not based on what I think it should be. But I don't know. It sort of makes me happy to not be really overly part of comedy anymore. And I know that there's an argument for like stay in comedy and try to change it. But I did that for 25 years. And it's just, it's out of my control at this point. You know, it's a very bro culture thing. And I would rather stop trying to change a thing and just do my own thing. And if people want to come with me, I'm over here doing this podcast, just being a woman who's trying to do it her own way, you know? So that's where I am. And I know you guys are here because you're listening. But that's it. That's where we're doing our thing. Now, I was going to read about the man who got killed by shrapnel. Should I do that or read the listener emails? I know you're like, read about the shrapnel guy. Okay. I'm sorry, listener emails. I've got you piled up, but I promise there will be more. I promise there'll be a big email episode or something like that. I'll do like a longer episode and it'll be like the last half hour listener emails and people can tune out if they don't want to hear it. Okay, so let's read about this dinglehopper. And rest in peace, sir. I hope he, I'm assuming, you know, let's just say a man was killed by shrapnel after a cannon exploded at a baby shower. First of all, we should not be having baby showers during a pandemic indoors. It was in Michigan. There was snow outside. Everyone was inside. A man was killed Saturday evening after shrapnel from an exploding cannon used at a baby shower in Michigan struck him, police said. A homeowner in Genesee County fired a small cannon-type device in the backyard around 7:30 p.m. to celebrate the baby's pending arrival, according to Michigan State Police. The homeowner had purchased the cannon at an auction prior to the event. Oh, that's not where you want to get a cannon. You want to get it new, not at an auction, and had fired the cannon several times prior. The cannon is designed to create a big flash, a loud noise, and create smoke. You know what? You can fucking do that on your iPhone now. You can text a bunch of fireworks and turn up the volume, and it makes that big popping sound. And then since it's cold outside, you can go and create smoke with your mouth. Also, you know what the big boom is going to be when the baby comes? It's going to be when a woman is screaming and something the size of a watermelon is coming out of her vagina. That will be enough of a sonic boom for the whole neighborhood to hear. We don't need a cannon on top of it. I swear, is this men doing shit because they feel so inadequate that they can't give birth that they're like, I'm going to shoot something off because nothing's coming out of my pee-pee, so I'm going to shoot a cannon. The cannon allegedly exploded and struck Evan Thomas Silva, 26, of Heartland, who was standing 10 to 15 feet away, the police said. Three parked vehicles and the garage where the baby shower was being held were also impacted. Happy baby shower. You're in a garage. Don't breathe in the fumes too deeply. I'm assuming it was in the garage because they thought they were being COVID safe, but a garage still has walls and a ceiling. The cannon did not contain any projectiles, but it is suspected that the gunpowder loaded into the device caused the cannon to fracture. The victim was rushed to a medical center where he later died from his injuries. It's currently not known how he is related to the homeowner. Officials are investigating and the case will be sent to the Genesee County prosecutor. So once again, you have something explode at your baby shower. Now, all you can think about with your baby in the womb is someone died because we were celebrating the baby being born. You know what? Start the baby in therapy now. Have a therapist start talking to your stomach every day. Your womb, whatever. It wasn't a funny article. Somebody died. But I'm just saying, ain't nobody cares about your baby except you, which is great. That's how it's supposed to be. Let us know how it goes. We'll send a gift. And, you know, when everything's back to normal, we'll have some cake. Oh, don't you worry. You owe me some cake if I got you a present for your kid. Don't you worry. I'll get that cake. Anyway, I want to thank you all for listening. Also, Elon Musk, he's in Austin. Can't he invent like a giant fire hose and melt all the snow? Can't he donate one of his billions? I mean, why is Jen Kirkman, who's only a thousandaire, not a millionaire? My wealth is in the thousands. Why am I fronting all this? You fucks. Anyway, send an email, iseemfun@gmail.com. Let me know your thoughts on any of the topics we talked about. Feel free to agree or disagree with me. You can review this on iTunes, give it 5 stars, don't be a dick, and you can write, I don't know, toxic femininity at its best. How's that? Please join the Patreon. It's literally my job. And you get a discount if you join for the year, but you can also pay by the month and cancel anytime, you know, and you can come back. I don't fucking care. Some months are easier than others. I totally get it. What else can I tell you? That's it. Tell a friend about the podcast. Follow me on all of the social medias. You can follow the podcast on Instagram at at Jen Kirkman Podcast and on Twitter at Jen Kirkman Pod. So follow them both, retweet me, tell a friend. Oh, and don't forget, buy the merchandise. So February, I am donating to food banks in Flint, Michigan and in Duluth, Minnesota. I have already let the food banks know. I know you're like, Jen, why don't you donate to Austin? Weirdly, in January, I already donated to a food bank in Austin. So buy my merchandise. There's all kinds of fun stuff in the store. And there should be a big sale actually going on right now where things are 35% off. And I think t-shirts are 13 bucks. So you can get your anxious as fuck t-shirt, your I meditated today motherfucker merch, your merch that says rich bitch. There's merchandise for the No Fun podcast, which is, you know, the logo of the podcast. And you can get everything on masks and mugs and travel mugs and pillows and tote bags and t-shirts and hoodies and notebooks and stickers and pins and magnets and phone cases and laptop cases and wall art and all kinds of things. And yeah, my merchandise is feminist and fun, anxious and fun, rich bitch, girls will be girls, respect Generation X, I seem fun, I'm not fun, I'm fun, I hate fun, all kinds of things. So go to jenkirkman.com and click shop or check the show notes where I will be announcing that there is a big store-wide sale. I believe it starts Wednesday the 24th and goes for a couple days at T Public, which is my merchandise store. And again, 100% of the proceeds that I get to keep, I will be donating to food banks every month of the year. So if you miss, if you can't afford anything in February, there'll be new food banks in March that I'm donating to and that you can shop for a good cause. So anyway, thanks for being here, everybody. I love you all. Until next week. Have fun.